This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hernandez runs again. Freeze reaches out, sends it in the air, right center and deep. That ball splits the gap and off the wall. David Freeze flips the script. A two-run double. And the Dodgers take the lead in the seventh.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
He had ET to look up his own.
Dame on the bench, three rebound shot. Hey, there's a lob up top. Old dependable, Lehman going back door for the crunch. Turner, 8 assists.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan. Brendan Sprague and Eater Johnson in with you on this Thursday afternoon. Judged, questioned. You name it, it's happened to me today twice.
You've been judged and questioned? Decisions yep. You've made?
The first one was a coworker coming in going, "You brush your teeth in the bathroom?" And then the next person goes,
that's a little judgy.
And the next person goes, "Why do you brush your teeth here?
What the hell is wrong with you?"
To which the second person I went, "Where do you brush your teeth?" And they go, "Well, it's not the same." It's like, it's a bathroom, right?
Yeah, bathrooms are bathrooms. Why does it matter if I do it at work?
Right. And there's never an answer for that. That seems to happen to me more often now that I have this Invisalign.
Have you gotten your old man braces out yet?
No, so I didn't tell you this story. I went and I had a year checkup and yeah. I was supposed to be done in a year.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a one-year thing.
Then they go, "Hey, can you bite down? I bit and my left side doesn't touch. My molars don't touch."
Uh-oh.
So they go, "Okay, we're going to extend this 8 weeks." And I'm thinking, oh my God.
All right, 2 more months, no big deal.
2 more months, not a big deal. I go in for that next checkup. They're going to give me the whole case of them. They added 2 little rod hooks in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have a rubber band in my mouth like I'm a 10-year-old. And guess what? That's not even the funniest part. The funniest part was that they added the rubber band and then proceeded to go, "Yeah, we miscalculated. You're going to be doing this another 35 weeks. So I won't be
How
done
many
with...
How months is that? Let's do
that. That basically takes me right until my vacation in December.
That's almost, so this is going to turn into like a 2-year-plus thing for you.
Just shy, yeah.
Just shy of 2 years.
From going to getting Invisalign because they said, oh, it's a year.
Sounds like a construction company. 2 weeks, we'll be done in 2 weeks.
That basically is what it felt like. The orthodontist came up to me when he knew that I had found out, and just apologized profusely. I feel so bad. And I'm like, you feel bad. I have to keep wearing them.
I have to live with this every day.
Now, I paid for it, so I'm going to follow through and go
sure.
through with it. But I was pretty upset. I'm like,
you can't just quit halfway through with braces.
I mean,
you're
no.
down that road too far now. There's no turning back at this point.
Their job is really hard, but I also felt like you guys are smart enough and good enough to do this job. You should have been able to identify that my mouth might have this possibility and not be like, yeah, it could be 48 weeks, it could be 52, and you're done.
So this is in no way, shape, or form a human error on your part? Like, it's
no.
not something that you didn't do or you
nope.
didn't wear them the right way?
Nope.
Or okay, so this is all on their end.
I've been doing it exactly how I should be doing it.
Following the rules day in and day out.
Only take them out when you eat. Brush your teeth, put them right back in there all day.
This would have been so much more enjoyable if they were legitimately old man braces and you had to live with these and you like walk
around.
Like
the metal ones you're talking about?
Yeah, the metal old man braces. I love old man braces. I had the same thing when I think I was in like middle school or something when you go through that awkward phase of having young person braces.
Yep.
But I had one of those like where I used to grind my teeth really bad when I slept. So they thought they could fix it. My orthodontist did with this like weird thing that had like hooks in the back and then bars that connected the top and bottom.
Sure.
They were the worst. And then they would sometimes come loose, so you had to open your mouth really wide and, like, hook them back up. It sucked. And they said it was going to fix my grinding problem. I said, yeah, no problem. Wear these for, like, 8 months. You'll be good. 8 months later, nothing was fixed. They took them out, and I was still grinding my teeth. And then I had to have regular braces for a year on top of it.
Ooh.
It's like a double dosage.
Yeah, sounds like you got spragged.
I did. I got spragged.
That's exactly what happened.
There's metal in my mouth for like 2 years from like 6th through 7th grade.
Ah, man. I'm glad you haven't noticed my rubber band.
No, I haven't seen it. It's too far back.
Yeah, I don't open my mouth very wide for a reason.
I've gotten used to, at first, the brushing of the teeth at the office was a little strange. It takes a while to get used to because nobody brushes their teeth at work.
That's a fair point.
Right?
I'll give you that.
If they haven't seen you brushing your teeth before, okay, well, then that's different because then it's get over it. But you sometimes will, like, stand in the hallway with an electric toothbrush. And you can just hear that. Like, it's a little weird.
I don't know what else to do. I'm out of options.
You have
here.
No choices.
I have to brush my teeth. I can't go 5 hours without wearing them. What do I do in that situation?
You just not eat during the day.
Well, my other thinking, too, is because I'd only brushed my teeth here one other time prior to that. And admittedly, it was like, this kind of sucks to do. But I did think, why is this a big deal? Like, if we brush our teeth at home, what's the difference? It's in a bathroom.
It's at home.
But I'm in a bathroom.
I know.
Like, one guy taking a dump and having that smell versus two guys versus being at home and your wife took a dump. It all smells like crap anyway. You're still in the bathroom.
Why did we have to go there?
I don't know.
I didn't need that picture
painted.
Because
somebody texted and was like, well, there's not 50 guys going to the bathroom at home. And I thought, okay, that's true, but the smell is the smell.
Have you ever been conversation guy while brushing your teeth with somebody taking a dumper?
No.
Hey, how you doing in there, Bob?
I only do that when I'm going to the bathroom.
You start talking to people?
If I see somebody in the stall, I'll kind of knock on the door sometimes, like,
make them feel awkward.
Hey, how's it going in there? And they'll never respond. They're always like, I don't want them to know it was me.
I always love playing the guessing game of who is that? Because when you're taking a dump and you're in the stall and the door's closed, we have, like, urinals next to it, and you can see the feet, usually, like, their shoes. I always love playing that fun game. Like, who is that? I wonder who's taking a leak right now.
Well,
I'm trying to judge those shoes and those slacks. Who is that person?
Swag is either questioning you because everybody does that, or he's questioning you because he thinks it's dumb that you do that. I did this yesterday.
Did you?
And I found out somebody that goes to the bathroom, takes forever standing up, by the way.
Okay.
So clearly it's not rushing out like he's a child, doesn't flush, and doesn't wash his hands.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know who it is.
Oh.
I'm not going to name the name.
He was going number one and he went through it and didn't. Okay,
yeah.
See, that's where you have to make sure, if there's somebody that's in the stall, you have to be hand wash guy, especially for me, because at this time of year, I'm wearing flip-flops every day, like rain be damned. I'm in that mode now.
I don't know how you go to the bathroom at work with flip-flops.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, people, I stick out like a sore thumb because there's not many. We used to have one guy who wore flip-flops. He got fired. So I think I'm the only one left that wears flip-flops on a daily basis. So if somebody's in there and I'm at the urinal, they know who I am.
Yeah.
And so if I don't wash my hands or follow proper bathroom protocol, I will then be stamped and labeled as that guy.
Mm.
Then the rumors spread. People name names.
Yeah, I didn't name any names.
You're going to tell me in the commercial break.
I will tell you who it was because we both know him.
This is going to spread around the office like wildfire.
It's not going to really change how you feel about him. But I was like, oh, he stood there for like 6 minutes and went
number
one.
That's a long
leak.
Well, maybe he's got problems with the pipes. I won't judge.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Was maybe it's not so fun for him and didn't flush, didn't wash the hands, walked right out. I saw him on the cell phone. I was like, oh, God.
This is a poppy moment. He went in.
Very poppy moment.
Took a leak, fixed his hair a little bit.
I'm going to make the best meal for you tonight.
I got a pizza with my hands. No thanks, fam.
All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. P1 Cody tweeted us, this is unbelievable. He says, calm down, guys. I had metal braces from 5th grade to freshman year of high school.
What?
4 years?
What the hell was wrong with your mouth?
4 or 5 years. That's
a long time. That's brutal.
That is brutal.
Somebody said, where did it go? I had the same contraption in my mouth for 3 years. On top of that, I had braces before, during, and after. It was horrible. Mm. My dad used to call it the Ferris wheel.
Wow. We got a good show today.
Is there anything worse than the awkward? Like, you're already awkward and, like, maturing at that age to begin with, puberty, and then you throw metal into your mouth at the same time.
Well, I had this conversation with a parent yesterday or the day before. I told her the story of what I'm doing, like how it got extended. And she goes, oh, that's not so bad. And she goes, my son, and her son is 10 years old. She's like, he has to have these braces for 2 years because his jaw is not straight or something. And then he may have to get braces after those are taken off, like 2 years later.
Yeah.
And I go, well, that sucks, but I'd rather do that than what I'm doing. And she goes, no, I'd rather do what you're doing. And I said, no, you don't want to be an adult and do braces. You want to get that done, even though in the moment it sucks. You want to get it done when you're young.
Get it over with.
Everybody else is awkward around you.
It's like learning a language.
Yes.
If you hit a certain point in life that if you haven't learned the language, it's just probably not going to happen, or it's going to be much more difficult if you get it done at a young age.
Yeah.
Although teeth aren't that big of a deal to me. Like if my kids have like decent teeth, it's good.
Yeah, but teeth teeth never stop moving, so they're just going to get worse.
Some stick out really bad, and they need to be fixed. But if it's passable,
my favorite part about you saying expensive. This is, I know for 100% fact, if you ever have children, your wife ain't going for that mentality. Your wife's going to be like, open up your GD checkbook. Nah, we're paying for braces.
They'll be all right. They'll grow into it. They just look a little goofy right now.
And then she'll go, Andy, did you have braces? And you're like, well, yeah. I'd be like, shut up. Pay for the braces for smudge. We got a good show today. The Blazers get their 50th win. We'll talk some Terry Stotts. Some people wondering what the future will hold with him. He's got 1 year remaining here in Portland. It's around the time that coaches get extensions. Mm-hmm. Kenny Atkinson just got one in Brooklyn. So we'll talk about that. Big Green Bay story with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. We were going to get into it yesterday because McCarthy finally spoke to the media. And then Bleacher Report dropped a chapter book on us this morning about what really went down in Green Bay. So we'll talk about that at 1, and that will be our stop at the Daily Ticker. We've got umpires losing their minds in Major League Baseball. Bob Brenly really upset at Manny Machado yesterday. He is the color analyst now for the Diamondbacks. We've got coaches that are afraid of players in college basketball.
Yeah, how about that?
I don't know if I buy that, though. Gino Auriemma also had a hilarious quote today about potentially marrying a fellow Final Four coach. It was a real question that somebody asked.
Okay.
I don't think he appreciated it, but he gave a thoughtful answer on it.
Okay.
The color analyst for the Clippers accused James Harden of cheating because, quite frankly, he's really good.
He is. I think he's cheating too.
And he actually thinks that Harden's manipulated the NBA and gets away with cheating now. And we're going to play it for you. And I got a fun fact about the individual who said this last night.
Okay.
That you guys are going to love this. I promise you. We got Swags Plums at 215. We're on Twitter at 1080 The Fan, at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. We'll start with the Blazers. They get win number 50. Terry Stotts gets his third 50-win season in his tenure here in Portland. Is he underrated here in Rip City? Not on a national level. Do we underrate Terry Stotts? Yes or no? 55305 is the Better You Today text line. We'll start there on the Fan. Well, it's a good thing for the listeners. Commercials don't exist anymore because
turning
to more of us.
Turning and burning, man. You know what happens in a week, by the way?
The Masters.
Masters tees off.
It does, and you are continuing your trend of wearing.
Yeah.
How much more Masters gear do you have, though? I feel like you only have the hat and the shirt.
You just wait, buddy. You just wait.
Have you never busted all of it out?
I have three different hats.
Okay.
I have three different polos.
Oh, yeah, I guess you do have a couple polos.
And I have like a 1/4 zip-up.
Those are going to smell so bad by next Thursday. You're just going to keep wearing them.
Dare I say, we are a week away from beginning the best weekend of the 2019 year. I'm going to proclaim it right now. This is going to be it. You have the Masters all weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
You have Game of Thrones premiere Sunday night, week from Sunday.
Yep.
Boom goes the Dynamite in the NBA playoffs start.
I think football guy would disagree with you there.
Well, football guy could shove it because Game of Thrones and Masters is enough to carry this. I'm just throwing the NBA playoffs in there to be generous.
Let's not. Come on. We don't need to disrespect basketball. Okay?
I'm going to throw them into that conversation. You could get a Blazer game on Sunday.
Yeah.
You could get game one of the Blazers series. Yeah. Very
you'll
well
have
what
it'll either be Saturday or Sunday.
One of the 2 days.
Awesome. And it's either going to be in Utah or they're going to be hosting Utah. Because the Rockets'
like
schedule is cake.
We're a week away, baby.
The Blazers, speaking of them, they get win number 50 last night. Evan Turner gets his second straight triple-double. His interview was pretty funny because he didn't seem like he cared about it, which I enjoy because Evan Turner, he may not fit this roster very well, and yeah, we overpaid him. I find him very likable, and if he's not on this team by next trade deadline, I know most people are going to be happy, and we'll talk about how that impacts them financially and how that's probably a good thing. I'm going to miss having him here in Portland. He's a very likable character.
Yeah.
I think the team really likes him.
He is. He's beloved in that locker room. The chemistry that he helps cultivate. I'm with you on all that. Like the guys, you talk to anybody on the Blazers, they love him and they love having him inside the locker room with them. But I think ultimately the fit on the roster and what he brings on the court from a consistency standpoint.
You mean triple doubles?
negates that just a little bit.
Well, they get the win last night. It was Terry Stotts' 50th win of the year, his third 50-win season since he's been in Portland.
By the way, good note for, and you had this yesterday, you found it, Nurkic got $1.2 million last night.
Yes, he did. They get win number 50. He had an incentive in his contract, $1.25 million hit his account. Jokingly, but also serious, I told my brother-in-law, hey, I would let you break my leg the same way right now if you gave me $1.25 million. So not all is completely lost for Nurkic. He made some money last night. But Terry Stotts has had two more 50-win seasons than Jack Ramsey ever had here as the coach, and he got a championship. Rick Adelman had four. I think Nate McMillan had two, and Mike Dunleavy had two as well. Terry Stotts is the eighth highest paid coach in the NBA. His contract runs till 2020, but this is usually when they look to extend a coach to say, okay, there's a year left. No coach wants to go in with uncertainty, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what Portland's going to do, but what I kept thinking about last night, despite their shortcomings in the postseason, is he underrated? Do we give Terry Stotts enough credit for what he means to the organization? Because right now it's really Dame and then a bunch of fill-in guys. CJ when he's healthy. Nurk was getting a lot of love and credit. Does Terry Stotts get enough credit here in Portland?
It's interesting because when the credit conversation comes up and the blame conversation comes up, he seems to be immune to both of them. Like when things are going really well and you're winning, he's not necessarily the person you ever point to and say, it's because of Terry Stotts or the Blazers got out of the first round because of the coaching job that he did and vice versa. Usually when Portland is struggling and losing, he's not necessarily the guy we point to either. Like last year when Portland got swept and became what the first three seed ever, or first one in 40 years, whatever it was, to get swept in the Western Conference. How many people actually looked at that series and just pointed the finger at Stotts and said, man, we need to make a change of coach? I remember after the season ended, there were rumors swirling that Portland was looking to move on and there was a chance that they could fire him.
Well, Paul Allen wanted to.
He thought about it. He really wanted to shake things up and they ended up ultimately obviously not doing it. But I remember talking about that and most people were extremely against it, which is unique because oftentimes in sports, when you have a coach go through a postseason like that or lose 10 consecutive playoff games the way that he has, that's usually the first head on the chopping block, but Blazer fans haven't wanted it. I think there is a, and we talk about this a ton, there is a huge chunk of Blazer fans that appreciate character, that appreciate consistency, that appreciate somebody who just appears to be a really good guy, and by all references Terry Stotts is, he's been here a long time. He's got three 50-win seasons now. He's one behind Adelman for most 50-win seasons in the history of this organization. That says something, and I think Damian Lillard and the way he speaks about him said something, but for me, just as a fan, I can't overlook at times an 11-24 record in the postseason. I'm not saying it's all his fault, but that's what his postseason record is.
How many other coaches, when they're not with your team, how many coaches do we point that out to? We do that with almost every coach.
Dwayne Casey last year in Toronto.
Sure. Yeah. The shortcomings with him in the postseason and them parting ways with him and they were the one seed and yada, yada, yada. I'm with you 100%. He'll get criticism in moments,
yeah,
but he does escape overall criticism, I think, for the team's dealings in the postseason. And that record, I mean, that record's pretty atrocious.
That's just in Portland. He's 12-28 in his career in the playoffs. He's 11-24 in Portland.
And I'm not going to also point that and go, well, they played Golden State 1 year. That's what the league is. You're going to get tough teams. You're going to have teams that people will favor you in, and you're going to have teams that it's kind of a toss-up. Your job is to win, no matter what. And I think if Terry Stotts was anywhere else, we would never talk about him. We probably would recognize he's good on offense, but the defensive shortcomings have been there, right? Until Nurkic got here, that was kind of their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nurkic came in and anchored it down, yeah. And they've gotten better in that department. And then in the postseason, that sweep was pretty... That was very surprising,
yeah.
is the best way I could put it. And it was so surprising that Paul Allen, before he passed, really wanted and contemplated tearing it down and saying, we're getting rid of this, we're getting rid of him. And he survived it. Now, he had a 50-win season, and I love Terry Stotts. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a top seven coach in the NBA. I just wonder if they're going to pay him more than they already are, because if you don't remember, prior to him signing that extension in 16-17, it was the same scenario. He had a year left, and people kept asking about it. When is it coming? When is it coming? Now, Neil, I think when they announced it, Neil had said he doesn't like to do those things during the year.
Sure.
So if they have success in the postseason, or even if they fail and he doesn't fire him, I'm sure the extension comes summertime. But right now, a lot of people kind of wondering, well, a year left, 51 year. They have thrived since Nurkic has got injured. Despite playing bad teams, they've done well. And you potentially host a right. first-round matchup, which is basically what you're looking for every year. Whether you win it or not is different, but you want to host it.
Well, and again, I think depending on how this playoffs goes, he is going to be immune to criticism and credit once again. Like, without Nurkic, I still don't think there's much of a chance of a first-round matchup win. It looks like you're going to play Utah right now. That's not an easy matchup for them. And if they lose, it's an easy – you didn't have your second-best player. Like that's not an easy situation for any coach to be in. So I think he's going to have another season where the jury is still a little bit out on the postseason. Can he carry a team to that point? Like, they've been in the second round of the playoffs twice in his tenure as coach here, and I believe they've only won two games in the second round. They won one in that year against San Antonio to avoid the gentleman sweep, and then they won, what would it have been, game three or whatever, I believe, against Golden State after they beat the Clippers in the first round. So he has two wins in the second round. The strongest thing that he has going for him is the relationship that he's cultivated with his best player. Like, it's a unique thing, and it makes you appreciate Damian Lillard even more, because you don't, in the modern NBA, you just don't see it often without a high level of success together. You know, like, you have guys who have great relationships because they've won, like Phil and Michael and Phil and Kobe and Popovich and all his guys in San Antonio. Like, those are championship level teams, and they've won multiple times. Damian Lillard and Terry Stotts don't have that, but the support and the friendship and the relationship is still there. And Damian Lillard, like, he doesn't call the shots as aggressively sometimes as I want him to. One shot that he does and has called is wanting to keep Terry Stotts.
He really doesn't want to move on from him.
That's why, like, if you're Stotts, he's going to get an extension. The question, as you mentioned, is how much are you going to give him? But you're not going to do anything to disgruntle your superstar and let him go.
Well, but what if they get swept by Utah?
Nurkic isn't playing. Like, but you can't hold that against him again.
But a sweep? Because if we did a poll question on this, and I don't know what the percentage is at right now. It's at Dirt and Sprague. It's about the Blazers in the first round matchup. If they are the home court team for
you get
that
the four,
matchup,
you the host against matchup, Utah.
If they get swept, I'm telling you right now, Dirt, you and I might not be all that surprised. There are a lot of people that are 100% buying in. This team is legit,
yeah.
Even without CJ and Nurk. And we do this every year as fans, especially in this market. But if they get swept, I mean, I think that's going to be real alarming to people. Whether that's fair or not, again, I said Neil is going to cite those injuries, and I'm not going to bash him for that. I don't blame him. That's frustrating. It's unpredictable. It happens, but it sucks. But if they were to get swept, that would drop him to 11-28 in his playoff career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Dame loves him, and that is a big part of it. I think that should matter. But as one listener points out, what about Mark Jackson in Golden State? The players loved him. Remember, he had the quote, this is the best shooting backcourt of all time. And everybody questioned it. And everybody, whoa, he's fighting for his guys, but yeah. He's off his rocker. He had success too. And it wasn't enough. It was first round bust, second round out, first round out. And they went and they found somebody that said, hey, you need to play this guy. And we're going to implement a few things here and there. They made some roster moves that were smart. And Golden State's become a dynasty.
The toughest part about the Nurkic injury is that we're not going to get a clear picture of how this team is able to stack up. Like that, it was the you feel for him personally, but just as a fan, that was the thing that hurt me the most. Was it felt like we were finally coming to a postseason with how you haven't won the last couple of years. That if that was to happen again and you lose in five and you don't look, you're just overmatched. Once again, it's proven that you're a good regular season team that's capable of winning 50 or 50 plus games, getting a home court advantage, but you're not good enough when it matters the most because of matchups and just the way the playoff series go. That it felt like we were actually on the brink of, all right, this doesn't work in the playoffs. We need to see some change here. But again, that's going to be the excuse that they use. If the playoff series is ugly, and I can't blame them, like, that's really hard to win a playoff series without your second best player.
Super tough, especially if CJ doesn't come back right.
Or if he's not 100%. Let's say even if he's playing game one, that guy's going to be a little rusty. Like, you can't count on him coming out and just scoring 28 points per game in a playoff series like you're going to need him to. They're going to roll over again, I think, with everybody and do it all over again next year.
Here's one thought, and then we're going to go to the Daily Ticker and jump back into this at 12:45. With Damian Lillard here, how much does that change the, well, we're accomplishing great things. Can Lillard still continue to do this, and can the team still win if you didn't have Terry Stotts? Yes or no? And you can think about that. We'll get back into it at 12:45. But coming up next, the Daily Ticker, a lot of drama in Green Bay with the Packers. We're going to talk with Kelly Price next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we'll jump back into the Blazers, but the big story the last 2 days has been around the Green Bay Packers. Just a lot of gossip, speculation, pointing of fingers between Mike McCarthy, who is no longer the coach, and the current quarterback in the franchise, Aaron Rodgers. And joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline from the NBC affiliate over there is Kelly Price on Twitter at the Kelly Price. Give her a follow. Kelly, thanks for joining us here in Portland. I'll just start with everything that you have read or even snippets from both the stories that have been published. How accurate do you think that they are, and which side do you kind of more side with based on your experiences, Mike McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know if it's about taking sides per se, but, you know, this article today, I think, is just new examples of what we kind of already knew. And maybe this isn't something that was known on the national scale, you know, but in Green Bay, in Wisconsin, these are kind of things that we already knew, that Rodgers takes this cerebral approach to the game to an entirely new level that can rub people the wrong way. He's called out young teammates many times in his tenure. This isn't anything new that he would have, you know, any kind of disgruntled relationship with them, and that he's always had this chip on his shoulder. He's always kind of held grudges, not just against maybe coaches and teammates, but, you know, people in the media he literally will not talk to if they've done like an expose like this on him in the past. So, you know, locally, this isn't too much of a surprise. It's just kind of new examples of kind of things that we already knew. And I think the whose fault kind of question, like, was it Mike McCarthy's fault? Was it Aaron Rodgers' fault? That whole debate, I feel like, is just kind of irrelevant now. I mean, they're moving on from this era, and it's kind of just bringing up this dirty laundry with just, I guess, just because people want to hear about it. I mean, the Packers are one of those things everyone wants to hear every detail. But I think the organization's trying to move forward as best they can. I don't think anyone in the organization wants this kind of stuff out there, but, you know, training camp is a while away, and by the time we get to training camp, I think it'll all be blown over by then.
Well, and then you get the reports of McCarthy being upset about the way it went down, and now anonymous sources in Green Bay saying that he would leave team meetings for massages, like taking shots both ways. And I'm sure a lot of people out there, as you mentioned, they're just wanting to look forward. I did just one more kind of in the rearview mirror of, did they owe him more? Like, that was his big gripe, was saying, like, look, I've been here a long time. It's weird to see a long tenure coach get fired, especially one that's won a Super Bowl and had the success that he had, and he's fired with, what, 4 weeks left in the season. Did they owe Mike McCarthy more than that?
Yeah, you kind of have to take everything with a grain of salt, right? So he is the one saying that he feels like he should have been treated better. But when you look back at how it actually went down, it was a really ugly loss on top of two terrible seasons that have gone back to back here. And he was actually given the opportunity after he was fired to come back to the facility and talk to the players and have a whole meeting. And all the players talked about how it was great to kind of get closure and talk to him and see him off, so to speak. So, I mean, they allowed him to come back in the building after they fired him to kind of, you know, close that 13-year chapter of his life. So it wasn't like they just kicked him to the curb and were like, all right, see you later, figure it out. So, I mean, of course, you know, firing someone is never going to be easy. That's never going to be a thing that the person receiving that news is going to be happy about. So, you know, maybe he feels like he deserved more upon reflection. But, you know, I think his time in Green Bay really had come to a close and someone had to make that move.
Yeah, we're talking with Kelly Price in Green Bay, NBC Sports 26, joining us to talk about the McCarthy-Aaron Rodgers thing. You know, on the point of, like, camp will be around and you'll have the OTAs, et cetera, and everybody will move on from it. I'm curious, what is your approach? Because you do sound like somebody that's smart enough to understand how Rodgers operates. But what people don't understand when they're not in the media is you kind of also have to pick and choose, right? Like, you don't want to lose access to talking to Aaron Rodgers. So how do you balance that as a reporter of going, I have to bring this topic up if nobody else does because viewers and people that follow the work want to know about it versus if I say this, Aaron could really stonewall me and not talk to me the rest of the year.
Sure. I mean, that the Packers organization kind of takes that approach too. So no matter who you kind of, I don't want to say go after because no one's going after anyone, but whoever you choose to take a shot at per se, even if it is a completely fair shot, you have to think about it. But I think the fan base in Green Bay is also really torn with this. Like, some people still hate Aaron Rodgers here and they think he will never be Brett Favre, you know? Like, there really is a legitimate portion of fans here who, like, do not like Aaron Rodgers. They see these reports and it reinforces their belief that he's a bad teammate and a bad leader and bad for the organization, blah, blah, blah. So those people exist as Packer fans. And then there's also people who were like, oh, screw Mike McCarthy, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT. Like, there's completely an entire spectrum of these people just in the fan base. So, you know, it's one of those things that you can say something that maybe because, you know, I see Aaron Rodgers on a daily basis or I get to talk to him face to face. I have notions of him that are different than a fan, but I mean, those people are all out there and whatever you say is going to be reinforcing their, you know, belief or, you know, fake news if it's the opposite of what they think.
Well, I would say to that too with the Packer fans, like, do they not remember the last 2 years of Brett Favre retiring and then unretiring and then retiring and crying? Like, I don't quite follow that.
Division rival.
Yeah.
But the other thing, Kelly, is
it's funny that you mentioned that
because
some of the comments I'm seeing, like, you know, on Twitter and Facebook and stuff about this article, people are in the article, he talked about how McCarthy considered himself a quarterback guru or whatever. And people were like, he didn't do anything for Favre. So, like, people are still making that argument.
Oh.
And, like, McCarthy's not even the coach anymore.
Well, even for the people that are out on Rodgers, like, they're just never going to like him clearly at this point, despite having a Super Bowl and multiple NFC title game appearances. How much do you think just being around that community has to do with Brett Favre being this Midwest, wholesome, down-to-earth country boy and the way he talks versus the California cool kid who doesn't socialize with everybody, despite Brett Favre also handling things a little messy?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that the people here see themselves in Brett Favre because kind of more of that real, quote-unquote, person. Like you said, kind of, even though he's from the South, like, Midwest values, small-town values. He talks like them. He looks like them.
Levi
he
jeans.
He operates like them.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. you know, he is messy, and that's life. Aaron Rodgers is very calculated in every word that he says, everything that he does. He is cerebral. I mean, he is on a different IQ level than most human beings. So that's, I don't know if you want to call that elite or whatever compared to, like, you know, a normal average human being. But that's definitely a part of that whole part of the fan base that doesn't, you know, warm up to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and this is going to be a big season for him. As you mentioned, back-to-back kind of disappointing seasons, you know, and really highlighted by Aaron Rodgers' injuries 2 years ago, missing a bunch, and they came back, couldn't make it. Last year, he gets hurt in the opener, and who knows how long it took him to get back to 100%, and the season never really got off the ground for them. How have you viewed, just knowing how important this year is, new head coach, all the changes, how have you viewed their offseason to this point?
I think so far, obviously, nothing has happened on a field yet, so it's kind of hard to evaluate. But I think so far, they've done as much as possible to remove themselves from this, you know, McCarthy and Rodgers disaster that has dominated some of the conversation. I think that LaFleur, we've yet to see, you know, what he's going to be as a head coach, but Gutekunst has completely, the GM has completely taken him in a different, taken his kind of spotlight as the GM in a totally different way than Ted Thompson, the previous GM. I mean, so he's completely made himself a new man in free agency, how he's approached things. I think that the fact that they're moving on in a completely different direction from some of the things in this report that showed that hasn't been working for the last 13 years. So I think so far the offseason is going really well for them. I am personally a big fan of the offseason signings that they did in free agency. I mean, it's a lot of money, but they're things they really needed, and it makes them more flexible in the draft coming up so that they don't have to pick a certain position group, you know? So I'm a big fan of what they're doing. And I think, like I said, once it gets to training camp and once the pads come on, I think all this stuff is going to be in the past. I think the biggest question facing them is LaFleur going to be the guy that Aaron Rodgers is going to respect and be able to be challenged by. And Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, I think is going to be a big part of that, as well as Luke Getsy, the quarterback's coach, who has been in Green Bay before and Aaron Rodgers really likes. So I think those are going to be the key kind of components going forward. If you want to take a springboard from these reports and all this kind of gossip or whatever, if you want to take a springboard into what this is actually going to look like in a couple of months, I think those are the key pieces you need to watch.
Fantastic stuff. Kelly Price, NBC affiliate over there in Wisconsin, joining us to talk McCarthy and Rodgers. Kelly, really good insight. Thank you for everything. Thanks for joining us, and we'd love to get you on summertime.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
There we go. Good stuff. Kelly Price, NBC 26 over there in Wisconsin with the latest here on the Daily Ticker of Rodgers and McCarthy.
It was really funny to hear about how some Packer fans still...
How the hell do you get a Super Bowl from a quarterback and you still hate him?
Can you imagine another fan base having a guy like that as their quarterback and hating him?
That's like us hating Dame because he's not Clyde Drexler.
Because he hasn't been to an NBA Finals.
I hate this guy. Clyde's real to me, damn it. Clyde didn't lose in the first round every year.
Holy crap.
Come on, Packer fans.
That almost makes me root against Green Bay, there's fans with that mentality.
A little bit.
All right, we'll dive back into Terry Stotts. Do you think the Blazers could accomplish what they've accomplished without him? And we will dive into the Mike McCarthy stuff as well. That's next on 1080 The Fan. The Jeff Bezos divorce is official. Him and Lauren Sanchez can continue hooking up. His wife, Mackenzie Bezos, will go find a very attractive man, I'm sure. She gave up 75% of their Amazon stock. She surrendered her interest in Blue Origin, their aerospace company that Jeff started in 2000, and all of her interest in the Washington Post.
It was long my dream before I got engaged to find a sugar mama out there.
Mm-hmm.
This is prime candidate.
Are you telling us you're leaving your fiance
no,
before your wedding
I'm
so
not
you can be with
that.
Mrs. Bezos?
I'm saying this would have been the dream prior to.
You weren't patient enough.
But this is like for those guys out there dreaming about finding a lady with a lot of money.
Could you be happy being with somebody that's like 14 years older than you?
Yeah.
Really?
How much money did she get?
She's a billionaire. She sells 25% of Amazon.
That's
stock.
A yes, Bob. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. I can handle that life.
Even when she turns to the point where.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. By the way,
you're telling me you wouldn't really.
That just doesn't, I don't know how happy you are in life.
Single Brandon Sprague, this older lady comes up to you in a bar, starts talking to you. You strike up a relationship. You figure out who she is and how much money she has.
Look, I am not a perfect human, but.
You're not willing to make certain sacrifices in life for $3 billion, however much she's going to have.
Single
30-something. She
30-something
will be
billion dollars.
The third richest woman in the United States once this thing goes through.
Single Brandon, and I hate to admit this, but this is just the awful truth. Single Brandon would have multiple STDs at this point in his life. I'm glad I'm not single.
Okay.
I'll just throw that out there.
There you go.
Happy lunchtime, everybody.
Hey, there you go.
Enjoy your tuna.
By the way, he was worth $137 billion when they filed the paperwork. So a lot of people, it was at $1.149. The net worth was $137. There you go. So congratulations to Mrs. Bezos and Mr. Bezos for starting.
It's now Ms. Bezos.
Ms. Bezos.
Is she going to change her last name back?
No way.
You wouldn't change it back?
No.
You keep it Bezos?
You're like 60% of the reason the company started. You keep the name like it's yours.
She should legally change her last name to Amazon.
She supported him when he wanted to run a bookstore. Yeah, go in the garage.
You can start one up, Jeff.
You can go be a bum, just start a store up. And he did. Now he runs the world. Terry Stotts, we'll dive back into this. We'll get into the Mike McCarthy stuff as well at the top of the hour here. But I asked you before the Daily Ticker, you know, where do you place credit versus Dame on the Terry Stotts front of what they've accomplished? Damian Lillard is an amazing player.
Yes, he is.
I'm not one that believes that Terry Stotts made him this. I think he becomes this with or without Terry Stotts. But the fair question is always, well, who else do you get to replace him? And I understand that side of it. How close are they to this kind of success without Stotts, but with Lillard?
I don't think it would be that much different. And I don't mean that as being disrespectful. I just think we are in a player's league. That's just the way it works. Golden State, to me, is a great example of this. Steve Kerr, for some, is respected as one of the best coaches in the league. Luke Walton filled in for him for a half of a season, and they actually won more games that year with Luke Walton
wins that year than Steve Kerr.
Yeah. We had Steve Kerr miss, was it last year or 2 years ago that he missed a chunk of the playoffs? And Mike Brown was their head coach. They didn't bat an eye.
They went undefeated when he coached.
I think there's a lot to be said about mentality, about the culture that you create amongst your team, the respect that goes both directions. In that regard, I think the coach plays a pivotal role. But if you tell me that you take away Terry Stotts and insert, I don't know, any other random NBA coach out there, I still think the Blazers are a good regular season team, and that Damian Lillard is the player that he is.
So then what does that tell you about your, I think you respect Stotts a lot.
Yeah, I don't mean that. I said that about any NBA coach.
But think about what you just said. You're basically... Right.
It's a player's league. Players win. It's always been that way.
Right.
Phil Jackson's not the greatest coach of all time without Michael and Kobe and Shaq and Pippen.
Sure.
That's why he's Phil Jackson. If he was coaching the Milwaukee Bucks in that era,
he would have never been Phil Jackson.
He's just another decent little coach.
He'd be stealing Tex Winter's offense, acting like he created the triangle.
Right.
Everybody would praise him, but they wouldn't win.
Like, Popovich is a genius. Why? Look at all the guys that he had. They land Kawhi Leonard late in his tenure. The players win in the NBA.
You look at the list of coaches in the NBA and how many coaches right now in the league coaching a team. Could you have said put on Portland? And with Damian Lillard being what he is, they're doing the same thing. It's not any different.
Well, somebody said, look at the jump from Mark Jackson to Kerr for Golden State. One, sure, you give Kerr a lot of credit because he played Draymond Green more. So that was the big adjustment that he made when he took over for Mark Jackson. But are we going to sit here and act like if Mark Jackson remained their head coach, you don't think that the Warriors would have won a title or gotten to the point where they were they were still young. Curry was getting banged up a little bit. They struggled with consistency. They made the one playoff run, and then I believe they got bounced in the first round, I want to say, by the Clippers, and they fired him.
Do you think Mark would have won a title?
I do think he would have won a
title.
Really? I do. I think eventually the Draymond Green thing would have solved itself, and that was a team that was good enough to compete because of the players they had.
Don't
look
forget
at Luke Walton this year. What are people saying about Luke Walton? Again, a prime example.
Yeah,
Luke Walton is no longer respected as a coach. He's kind of a laughingstock in L.A.
Might be fired.
They're probably going to fire him in a matter of a week.
Yeah,
but he won a ton of games with that roster.
The other part,
same thing with Mike Brown.
Well, the other part too with Kerr is don't forget they signed Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala.
Yes, that helps.
That was a huge benefit for them. The first year that they won it, Kerr's first year, that was a huge benefit. He identified Draymond. I think he changed things offensively a little more maybe than people give him credit and spacing, but when they added Livingston and Iguodala, those were really underrated moves for them and what that meant for them as bench players.
That's your sixth and seventh guys off the bench.
The death lineup doesn't exist without Andre Iguodala. That term doesn't exist.
Right.
So maybe to your point, Mark does get a title. I don't know if he does or not, but that was a move that worked. Now, I'm not telling you there's a Steve Kerr out there and we're going to win a championship when they hire him, nor am I advocating to fire Terry Stotts. I just find the whole thing very... Neil gets bashed the most of anybody, but with that being said, anybody questioning, why doesn't Terry have an extension yesterday? Well, put yourself in Neil's shoes for just a moment. He's looking at this from a broad spectrum of where are we going, what's the future, right? Now you've suffered a catastrophic injury, and you don't know what exactly the future holds. You hope it's optimistic, and Nurkic is being Nurkic again at some point. They've lost 10 straight playoff games, 11 and 24 in the playoffs. What do we criticize Neil Olshey? When do we criticize him the most? It's usually almost after the playoffs. And the coach that's running the ship, although loved and respected a lot by players, he's a player's coach, and he's a good offensive mind. His record is 11-24. So I believe, despite what happens, I think they're going to extend Terry Stotts in the summertime. If they fire him, I will be a little surprised. With that being said, I also look at it from the Olshay perspective of, I don't blame him. They've had 10 straight losses. He's 11-24 as the coach. And who gets crapped on for it?
Yeah.
Neil.
The GM does.
The GM does. It's always the roster. Despite last year being the favorite and being a 3 seed, despite any other year that they've been bounced, it's Neil sucks. Neil.
Didn't give him enough pieces to work with.
And our station's just as responsible as anybody else out there.
Absolutely.
But that being said, I also look at that and I go, I don't think I blame Neil at all for just going, I'm going to play the year out. I'll figure out if I want to extend the guy. I like working with him. He's easy. But this record is a reflection of me.
I'm the one
people write articles about. I'm the one that the media hates. I'm the one that the fans despise. I'm the one getting crapped on.
Yeah.
You're the coach, and for some reason, it's all fallen on me.
Right. Somebody texted in and said, I think Stotts can be credited for the locker room camaraderie. I agree with that. I think the relationship that he and Dame have goes a long way.
You don't think Damian Lillard could have created said camaraderie?
I give him the credit. I think he could do it with a lot of coaches.
He's a very mature kid who came out with 4 years of college and knew how and how to be a leader. I think that's something that is genetically in him.
There's no guarantee that it happens with any and every coach that he has as a head coach, because there's different mentalities out there. Maybe somebody handles losses or tough spots differently. But whenever you have that relationship from the star of the player to the team, everybody else falls in line. And that's why, I might sound like I was bashing Terry Stotts. I wasn't. You don't fire a guy like that because, one, there's no guarantee the next guy you're going to find is going to be any better.
Very true.
Because you want to keep that continuity going. Like, if you have a good feel in the locker room, Terry Stotts, and it's funny because I started the whole thing with this. He is immune to credit and he is immune to being bashed because it's just kind of the truth. Like, do we honestly feel like with a different head coach, if you put Steve Kerr in Portland, are the Blazers going on a deep run last year? Like, if you put any other head coach on the Blazers last year, do you think they're going on a deep playoff run?
Probably not. Some of that is roster being flawed.
So I think when you have a – that's one of the parts. Like, sometimes I scoff at the whole culture and continuity kind of thing. It bothers me sometimes because, again, I want more success when it matters the most. And they're 11-24 under Stotts in the playoffs. But in that regard, I understand it. And I think it's about keeping people happy.
He's 3 years away from being here for 10 seasons. 10 seasons, and that was how many years Jack Ramsey was here.
Yeah, if there was a time to fire him, it would have been last year. Like, what happened? Like, it was inexcusable to get swept in the first round by New Orleans. And if they're not going to do it, I mean, he's going to be here for a while.
All right. Loaded second hour. We'll kick it off with Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, the Bleacher Report article that came out today. Boy, that did not paint a pretty picture for Aaron, in my opinion. And it painted an even uglier one for Mike McCarthy. We'll get to that hour two straight ahead on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.